Can you just look to the person next to you and just tell, qué bien te ves. Just that, qué bien te ves. Okay, if it's your husband, you know, just say, qué guapo. Okay, just welcome to Grace Midtown Campus. If this is your first time and you don't know me, thanks for bearing with us. Please be patient with us. I just got back from a trip and we've been out of the U.S. for almost a month. And so when you only speak Spanish and then throw some Arabic and some other, I don't know, it's gonna be fun, okay? It's gonna be fun. I have the privilege to actually closing our series, The Great I Am, and I'm so happy to be here and just to be back at home. I'm gonna be very mindful of the time because I know we have kids in the room and we just wanna have fun, okay? So yes, we are in the true vine. And just before getting into this, I wanna invite you to take something home, okay? Abide in Christ, bear eternal fruit, and make his love known. If you can only remember something about this sermon, just keep this in mind, okay? Let's see, where are the kids? ¿Dónde están los niños? Kids, can you raise your hand? Okay, I have something for you, because I know eso, okay? So as I was telling you, we had a little bit of a month of traveling, and we were back at home in Guatemala. And if you follow me on Instagram, you probably see, or Facebook, you will see that I always post like things that I enjoy from our country. I could show you the volcanoes, I could show you the food, I could show you the beautiful people, but I will show you something that really impressed me. As we were walking in the streets of Guatemala, I actually saw something that really impressed me about our country. And so this is the picture of a guy with his dog riding a scooter, okay? But to give you a little context, we were just walking and I saw this mister hopping into his scooter and then he was leaving and the dog was looking at him with really sad eyes. So he went back and picked up his dog. And then the dog was the happiest dog that I have ever seen. Plus, you get to see, you know, a dog riding a scooter. That's really cool, right? And so, kids, ask your dad to get you a scooter and a dog, and you know what to do, okay? So, we just got back from a very long trip, 30 hours in a plane. And so, if you see me rumbling a little bit, you'll know that I'm in jet lag. But during our trip to Middle East, we had the opportunity of actually being in a pretty cool place. Okay, this is a little bit of what it's believed to be the Split Rock, you know, and where Moses hit it and then water came. And so that's our team the day before of something that I'm about to tell you, okay? What you see over here, all the way up there, is what is believed to be Mount Sinai. When I saw it, I was like, that's not too far. You know, I have hiked some mountains. I was prepared, you know, I had my boots, I had two, like, bottles of water, a lot of food, my wife, my camera, and I was like, let's do it. I mean, we look really cool. And then we start, like, hiking and actually rock climbing, you know. So to get from this point to what you see all the way there, it took us about 4 hours and a half, maybe. We start at 10 a.m., and then we hike all the way up there, you know, to this place. It was beautiful, beautiful. But today we're talking about dependence on the Lord, okay? So I gotta tell you something. I haven't been working out lately. You can tell. That's okay. No shame. You know, but this mountain really took me to a place to depend on the Lord. I feel that I was about to see Elijah, Moses, Jesus, you know, And it was a challenge to get there. So to get there, it was like really climbing on rocks, you know. The problem is, once you go up, you know what happened, right? You cannot stay there. I mean, you can, but then you have responsibilities. You have to go down. We stayed there for maybe an hour or 2 hours. The summit was all the way there, only Hannah and Olivia were there, Moses and Nere. We took a nap over there, you know. way back, it took us like 6 hours. And the sunset, you know, would start coming. And we'll put a pause on that and we'll get back to that story, okay? Because believe me, it's going to be pretty interesting. Let's dig a little bit on what we are coming to talk. We're talking about John 15. Jesus is talking to the disciples. And this is the time where Jesus is getting ready. You know, I mean, he's on that preparation, you know, to be crucified. Now, if we go to John 15, verse 1 to 3, it says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Now, there's something pretty interesting about this story. You know, I mean, the Lord has already walked with the disciples. And this is the time where we are seeing the final discourse, you know, to the disciples before crucifixion. Now, to understand a little bit of the culture, in this time on the scripture, the vine was a common symbol. See, I'm telling you, I'm going to start throwing some Arabic in a minute, of vitality and growth, as well as an important economic crop in Israel. Jesus is using this image to explain the essential relationship between him and his disciples. He's declaring himself the true vine. And Jesus highlights his unique and irreplaceable role as the source of life. When we see this in the Old Testament, if you go to the Old Testament, Israel is many times described as the vine. But this vine, Israel, has failed to fulfill its purpose because of his unfaithfulness. We can see this in Jeremiah. We can see this in Isaiah. But in the contrast, Jesus presents himself as the true source of life and spiritual nourishment. So he's fulfilling the promises and the expectations that Israel couldn't. So when we go to this part of the scripture, it's very interesting because abide or remain, as this version will say, is coming at least 10 times in this part of the scripture. We can see it in the following verses. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in whom? Doesn't say on your education, in the power of the dollar. Says in me. He's talking about him. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And I in them will produce much fruit. And I love this part. Can we read this all together? 1, 2, 3. For apart from me, come on, let's do it together. For apart from me, you can do nothing. One more time, please. For apart, you can do. What an incredible message for the disciples. Now, think about the disciples for a second. They spend their time with Jesus. I mean, they spend time. Now, this is the moment where they were about to be tested. I don't know about you, but tests make me a little nervous. And the disciples put all their confidence, life, and everything in Jesus. Now he's preparing them to leave? How scary is that? But Jesus is giving them this message. You have to remain in me. Now, abiding or remaining is something that is active. I don't know about you, but many times I have woke up and saying, today I'm gonna go to the gym, right? And I start thinking on my routine, you know, I'm starting to think, okay, I'm gonna do back. I do a lot of back, okay? My wife can witness this. I start thinking of my routine. I'm still in bed, you know, and I'm thinking of my routine and everything that I'm gonna do. And then I don't do it. I get up, make coffee, no sugar. I, you know, start eating, and then the day go by, and I don't go to the gym. And same next day. If I want to be active, if I want to go to the gym, be disciplined, I have to be active. And it's the same with our spiritual life. We have to be active. We have to be very intentional. You actually woke up this morning and you said, I'm going to go to church and I want to see what the Lord is going to speak to my life. We come with expectation. Abiding, remaining, is something that is active. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it'll be granted. Now, God is the gardener. He desires to have more and more of the character of Christ flowing in our lives. But for this to happen, there are some things that need to be removed. Remember the story that I was telling you about the mountain? To go down that mountain, believe me, we had to walk. It was no option. I was actually joking with Moses and with others. Can you carry me like a shepherd, you know, takes a sheep, you know? And I was imagining me, you know, like someone carrying me. I didn't want to walk. There was a point where there was no light. It was dark. We had to activate our night vision, you know? I didn't know we had night vision. I found out that day. But we have to do the walk. But if we're not willing to take that pathway, if you're not willing to go to a place of uncomfortable, you're not gonna learn what the Lord wants to teach you. So whenever we are struggling, whenever we are in a moment of just pressure, don't try to run away from it. Instead, take a moment to pause and ask Jesus, what do you want to teach me in this situation? If we're struggling, if maybe we have problems in our marriage, financial problems, you know, there's always something that the Lord wants to teach us. And believe me, many times it's more about dependence in Him. So that's actually mercy, because He is teaching us things. And so, the Lord is very clear here, remain in me and my words remain in you. But remaining in Him, according to verse 8, is going to help us to produce, to give fruit. So when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings glory, great glory to my Father. Now, thank you for being here. As someone said, there's many churches in town where you could be this morning, but you are here. So that's already something that it's an achievement if you think about it. Okay, there's many families that are not together in this moment listening to the word, but that's not the only thing the Lord wants from you. He wants to help you to grow and to produce and to give fruit so others around you can actually have access to enjoy that. We need to produce much fruit. But in Mark chapter 4, verse 20 says, and the seeds, I'm reading on Spanish, so I was going to say, and the seeds that cayeron, but and the seeds that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's words and produce a harvest of 30, 60 or even 100 times as much as he had been planted. Now, many of us here, we've been in church for so long, but there's areas in our lives that we're actually not producing any fruit. And for many people, producing, it's related to doing out, I mean, like reaching out people, you know? That's great. That's a great way to see, you know, like producing fruit, like getting more people to believe in Christ. That's great. But even when we do that, if there's not something in our heart that changes, it's gonna be very limited. So how do we actually know how much we're producing? Remember these numbers. 30, okay, 30, 60, or 100 times. Bear with me, okay? So we have the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Can we read it together? This is like a Bible Sunday morning, you know, class for the kids, okay? What are the fruits of the Spirit? How many of us can say this morning, I'm 100% in all of those? If you can, you're ready to see Jesus. We won't help you to get there, but think about for a second, when you see this, in what areas of our lives we're actually needing to get from 30 to 100? Now, that's not gonna be possible by our own strength. The only way to get there is to abide in the Lord. When you read John 15, this chapter is not made for non-believers. This is a chapter that you, as a believer, you can go and you will understand and you can have a grasp of it and just embrace it. This is for us, the believers. So let me ask you again, in which areas do we need to grow more? Oh, I love people, you know, just maybe not my neighbor, you know, steals my mail sometimes. You know, I have joy, but not at 7 a.m., you know, no. I have peace, you know, except when I'm in traffic. And you can go, you know, like, I mean, I'm just giving you some examples, but really, in how many of this we need more of Christ? My invitation to you is to identify these areas and actually abide in the Lord to grow in that. Now, there's a key word here, love, okay? When we go to love, we can see, you know, that there's so many ways to remain in the Lord, you know? There's, I mean, the closer we are with him, you know, we connect with him, and there's a moment that the Lord can touch our life in incredible ways. We are branches. And God loved us, you know. So, Jesus connects this metaphor to the commandment of love. If you continue reading, and because of time, I mean, I want to invite you to read this. But he starts commanding with love. Now, this love is not superficial because he actually invites us to give our life for others. That's a big ask. I don't know how many of us were ready, you know, to give our lives for others. It's a big ask. But this is the thing that he did for us, church. He gave himself for each one of us. So maybe there's areas in our lives that we need to sacrifice for the sake of others getting to know Jesus. Maybe there's this grumpy neighbor, you know, that doesn't want to talk to anyone, that whenever football, comes to the backyard, you know, he actually gets something, it's, you know, just, is the neighbor that nobody wants to talk? Well, you know what? The The Lord is calling you to reach that neighbor. Maybe there's a family member that nobody wants to talk or is being isolated because of the attitude, you know. Well, because you abide in the Lord is going to give you everything you need to reach your family member. We abide in the Lord. Now, let me go to this very quick. These are some of the things that abiding will give us. You know, when we abide in the Lord, we're going to be bearing fruit. You abide in Christ, you will bear much fruit. You abide in the Lord, you will get prayers answered. You abide in the Lord, you'll be glorifying God with all your actions. You abide in the Lord, you will be experiencing the love of Christ. You abide in the Lord, you will be filled with joy, even in persecution, even in anything that is coming to you. It might be the worst news of your life, you will be filled with joy. You abide in the Lord, you will love others. You abide in the Lord, Jesus is actually telling us that we are going to be his friends. You abide in the Lord, your identity will be secure in him, because even with the lies of the enemy, you will remind yourself that you've been chosen and appointed. You abide in the Lord and you will obey his commandments. It's going to be easy. So see, church, Jesus is actually telling us that he is the true vine and that we can depend on him. Even when you think that you cannot change an area of your life, oh, this is the way I am. You know, I am a very angry person. No, that's not what the word says. You can change, because the more you allow Jesus to abide in your life, you'll be more like him. Amen? So, I have 3 minutes, Dan. Let me start wrapping up, okay? So, I don't know if you know this plant. Does anyone here know this plant? No? Okay, so this is something that we had in Guatemala, okay? So I remember the day that my sister bought this plant. You know, it was just a little plant for like maybe 50 cents of dollar, okay? And so this plant, Tumbergia Misorensis Misore, I think I'm doing Italian, trumpet vine plant, okay? I've been doing this, okay? So this plant will start growing little by little, you know? It will start, you know, just covering a little bit of your wall. And then all of a sudden, you know, if you water it, and then if you allow it to grow, if you don't, prune some of the branches, you will actually have something similar. I do not have a picture of it, so I went to you and I asked, you know, AI to generate something. So I tell him, hey, help me to generate, you know, this plant, Tumbergia, covering a house in Guatemala. And so this is what generate, okay? And so it's kind of fair, you know. I mean, I remember this plant going very wild, you know. I mean, if we were a flower at Midtown, we would probably be this, okay? And so I remember like covering, and so you will go into my house and it will be all over the grass, you know. And so you will get in, and so you will see little bees, you know, going and getting some of the nectar of the flower, and it was beautiful. I mean, we loved it. One day, one guy came and do landscaping. Now, I want you to understand this. This was born out of just a branch, you know, and so it was outside of my house. You will see just something coming from the earth and then going really wild. The guy was just like chopping bushes, you know. Again, it's Guatemala, so. And then he accidentally, my sister says accidentally, you know, accidentally chop it. So I asked AI to generate me this same image with the plant dead. And it looked very similar to this. So it was a very, very sad day, Because this beautiful plant that was covering all the house suddenly was dead. And it was incredible because it was just out of cutting maybe two or three branches from the tierra, sorry. Sometimes this is a representation of us, you know. People look at us and we look wildly beautiful, you know. But this is what happened when we don't depend on the Lord. Church, in anything that we do, we need to depend on Jesus. Because whatever we can produce, it's just gonna be, it's finito. It lasts this long. But when we depend on Jesus, amen. When we depend on Jesus, you know, whatever we do, every fruit that we bear is gonna impact the eternity of those around us. So I'm gonna call the worship team. I told you about our hike, okay? I have done crazy hikes. My wife is the athletic one, okay? But on our way down, it got so dark. And the thing is that we were basically just like slipping down the rocks. There was a moment that it got like really scary, really, really scary. And it was like, Lord, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to talk to Sarah, you know, and give the bad news about Moses. I was thinking all this stuff, you know. I was like, Lord, because it's okay, Moses. But we took a pause, you know, and it was like, because the guy was incredible. He knew what he was doing. We did not trust in him, being honest. If you're seeing this, Pete, I love you. But it was a very scary moment. So we took just a moment to pause, and then we pray. And let me tell you, we were still like maybe an hour away, an hour and a half away. There was like these giant rocks. It was incredible. It was scary. And so the guy told us, listen, don't even turn on one light or flashlight or your phones, because if you do that, your night vision will be messed up, and it's going to take 20 minutes to adjust. What I enjoy about this very scary experience was actually the fact that I was with my team and the family, my family team, you know. There was this beautiful picture of all of us helping us together. Like someone was leading, but someone was taking care of the person on the back. And then I was just like walking, and then Hannah will be like, be careful over there. There's a lot of things that you will die. You know, and so I was like, okay, I'm not gonna go this way, you know. And we were like, I mean, we already recovered a little bit, but it's gonna take some decades. It was a very challenging thing, but we did it together. We helped each other to really be praying for each other, just so that experience really make us come together and give us incredible vision for the rest of the trip. Church, sometimes we just need presence. Sometimes we just need to be there for one another. Sometimes we just need someone to point us to Jesus. Sometimes when your kids are not wanting to listen about Christ anymore, you just keep praying for them. We help each other to abide in the Lord. And that's what we do. So, if the worship team is ready, I want to ask you to take this home, remember. Stay in Christ, or abide in Christ, bear eternal fruit, and make His love known. So I want to invite you to something. I want to invite you to stand up. You can stretch, that's fine. There's many of us here this morning that we're having difficulties to experience this because we're fighting on our own strength. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What areas of our life are we actually struggling? What areas of our lives we need more of Jesus so we can produce 30, 60, more than 30, more than 60, 100 in this area. So I want to invite you to something. If you're with your family, if you're with your kids, can you gather up for a second? And parents, I want to invite you to pray over your kids. Just to pray as a family. Pray for each other. Pray that we all can abide in the Lord. And if you're here with a friend, get together with your friend or your husband or your wife. Can we just be open for a second, vulnerable for a second with each other? Maybe we need to tell, hey, I've been 30% or 0% on this area. Can you pray for me that I can abide in the Lord? Can we do that? We're the church. We're here to pray for one another. If you have your friends, gather up. Let's just take a moment to pray for one another. In what areas of our lives we need to allow the Lord to take us to 100%.